This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Do you think coal power is disappearing, being replaced by cleaner natural gas and renewable energy? Think again. According to data released by the International Energy Agency in 2018, coal consumption is going back up after 2 years of decline. That is terrible news for our future climate. Most of that new demand is coming from Asia. Japan and South Korea are pumping billions into new coal plant construction. Despite the good news you've heard about massive renewables in China, Chinese banks are investing tens of billions of dollars to expand coal power in many places in the world. Here to give us the big picture is Hefa Schuking. Hefa is a long-standing environmental leader in Germany and a winner of the Goldman Environmental Prize. She is managing director of the German nonprofit group Urgewald, which maintains a database of all coal projects and investors worldwide. Hefa Schuking, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you.
So, what does your group Urgewald's name mean in English?
Well, it's not really translatable in German. It's a word play between the two words for primary forest and primary force, like nature's force. And it works very well in German because people look at it and think, this is misspelled somehow. So they remember our name, but it's not really a good name for international purposes.
All right. Well, we want to talk about the drive to expand coal power by China and others, but let us start with your own country. From outside, we hear a lot about solar power and Danish wind sweeping into the German electricity system, but at least 35% of German power still comes from coal. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Actually, for 2018, renewables made up 37% of Germany's electricity mix, and coal power was also at 37%.
And I read that in October 2018, about 50,000 protesters, that's quite a few people, showed up to fight off the energy company RWE. That company wants to clear-cut more ancient forest for a giant open-pit coal mine. Please tell us what is going on there.
The Hambach Forest, it's about an eighth of the forest is still left. Most of it has already been destroyed for a huge open-pit lignite mine run by RWE. The forest is about 12,000 years old. It has over 100 bird species and 10 bat species, some of them very rare species. And at a time in Germany where actually the German government has set up a commission that is debating, negotiating a coal phase-out for Germany, it seems completely crazy to destroy such a valuable and unique piece of nature when it's quite clear that Germany has to move out of coal-fired power production completely. Yeah, if you look at the situation in Europe, then 53% of Europe's emissions are due to the German and the Polish coal industry. Like, Europe's whole ability to meet its climate goals under the Paris Climate Agreement really depends on a German coal phase-out.
And to prevent horrible climate change, we know we need to get out of coal power, as you say. But according to the group Coal Exit, since the Paris Climate Agreement of 2015, the number of coal power plants in the world has continued to grow. They say new coal plants, starting up in just the last 3 years, use as much coal as, quote, all of Japan's and Russia's coal plants put together. That's an incredible number. Could you talk to us about that?
Yeah, I do have to say the number has to be put in perspective. Like, if we were looking at the pipeline of new coal plants, 2 years ago, this pipeline was over 1,200,000 megawatts. The first time when we did this research, I mean, we were really, really frightened. Last year, that pipeline of new coal projects had gone down to 840,000 megawatts, and now the pipeline is at 670,000 megawatts. That's still not tenable. I mean, it means if all of those coal plants were built, 670,000 that have currently been announced or in some stage of planning, it would still mean that we would increase the world's coal plant fleet by 33%. But it's a little bit sort of the glass is half full, the glass is half empty situation. Actually, many, many coal plants have been scrapped over the past 2 years, but there's still just way too many out there that are either under development, have been announced, and are threatening to be built and that have to be stopped. Otherwise, we have no chance of achieving the Paris climate goal.
No country has installed more solar power or more mass transit than China. They are world leaders in alternative tech in some ways. But what is the situation with coal power in China now?
Well, China, it's really the elephant in the room, both when it comes to coal power generally, but also if we look at sort of the pipeline of new projects. I mean, China has plans for 259,000 megawatts of new coal plants. That's about a third of the coal plants that are in the pipeline globally. At the same time, the Chinese government at some point a few years ago, they announced a cap on installed coal power capacity of the country. This cap was set at something like 1,100,000 megawatts, and China is now at around 990,000 installed megawatts. That means if the pipeline of new Chinese coal plants get built, China is going to fail, basically. The stated goal of the Chinese government. There are huge conflicts in China around this question, especially in connection with the massive pollution caused by the Chinese coal industry. I mean, every year in China, over 360,000 people die prematurely due to just pollution from the coal industry. And, you know, those pollution deaths, the air pollution is something that nobody can get away from. Even the members of the Central Committee of the Chinese Communist Party and their families are affected by this. And while there's a growing realization in China that somehow the further development of the coal industry needs to be stopped, at the same time, there's huge pressure from the provinces and from the companies in China who have been building new coal plants. And it's a difficult situation, but a lot depends. I mean, the future of our climate really depends on coming to terms with this.
Well, I think one of the ways that the United States managed to lower their emissions somewhat was by exporting some of their dirtiest industries offshore to Asia, to China in particular, things like steel production. And now I'm wondering if, due to these hundreds of thousands of deaths that you've talked about, maybe China will try to export some of the dirtiest coal production to other countries and have their production come from there instead. Do you see that as a possibility?
Well, we also see that happening. I mean, we see that the Chinese coal plant manufacturers who used to get all of their new contracts from within country, that they're now looking abroad for new contracts, and they're being supported in this venture by the Chinese government and by the Chinese banking system. And about one-sixth of Chinese-led coal plant development is actually taking place outside of China now.
Right. A Radio EcoShock listener wrote to complain to me about Chinese banks putting up money for another coal power plant in Serbia. So does your database keep track of things like that?
Yeah, exactly. In Serbia, 75% of Serbia's electricity production, it's coal-fired, mainly by lignite. And in spite of the fact that Serbia is already violating European pollution laws due to the heavy pollution load of those coal plants, there is a plan to build two further coal plants in Serbia, and this is basically a partnership between Serbia's national utility, a company called EPS, and the China Machinery Engineering Corporation. And Chinese banks have offered to pay for the construction of the new coal plants.
In May 2017, the Global Environmental Institute, which is based in Beijing, reported that Chinese companies and banks are involved in 240 coal-fired power projects in 25 out of the 65 countries along their Belt and Road project. 54 were already under construction by 2016. First of all, Hefa, what is the Belt and Road project, briefly?
Well, it's an initiative announced by the Chinese Prime Minister Xi in 2013, and it's basically a kind of huge economic development project, but also a political strategic project of the Chinese government, and it's about developing new infrastructure, new economic zones, new transport projects in 65 countries around the world. So while it initially started mainly as to basically focused on Asia and Europe and Africa, I mean, the Belt and Road project has now even been taken up with the goal of furthering Chinese influence in Latin America. So it's a huge political program, and what we see is that this program makes it much easier, for example, for Chinese coal plant developers to go and try and bring coal power to many African countries, for example, that do not have any installed coal-fired capacity as of yet.
A new continent to conquer for the coal power industry, and that's a pretty frightening idea. So what is the situation with coal power in India?
Well, India is also a country with the world's second largest coal plant pipeline. Over 100,000 megawatts of new coal plants are still being planned. At the same time, if we would have looked back a year ago, the pipeline would have been even much bigger. Over the past year, 24,000 megawatts of planned new coal capacity were scrapped in India. And this is mainly due to an enormous progression in renewable energy in the country. The price for renewable energy in India fell by something like 50% over the past 2 years. And that means that now building new wind and solar projects is actually 20% cheaper than even using existing coal-fired power generation.
Is there coal expansion in another country that you would like to tell us about, Hefa?
Well, for me, one of the really interesting cases is Egypt, which has the world's ninth largest coal plant pipeline. Now, if you would look back a few years ago, Egypt actually had a law against coal mining, coal power production, and even coal imports right up until 2015. This law was then scrapped under the El-Sisi regime, and what happened was that coal plant manufacturers from all over the world began flocking to Egypt to tell the Egyptian government, look, you need to build new coal plants. And so now you have a country that has not had a coal industry up to now, planning to build over 12,000 megawatts of new coal-fired power plants. I mean, this is a kind of development that's really, really frightening. As I'm myself from Germany, I see how hard it is once you have an entrenched coal industry, how hard it is to phase it out. And it seems completely crazy that a country like Egypt, which has an immense potential for renewable energy, would, you know, basically take, instead of leapfrogging to renewable energy systems, would go to the trouble of building up a coal industry now, especially if you take into consideration the fact that Egypt does not have coal reserves of its own and is going to have to import that coal anyway. That's a crazy situation, but it's driven very much by companies from abroad. And in Egypt, for example, this is two Chinese companies, Shanghai Electric and Dongfeng Electric, which together with an Egyptian construction company will build the world's largest coal-fired power station with 6,000 megawatts.
In Egypt?
In Egypt, yeah.
The world's biggest. We're going the wrong direction.
Yeah, we're going in the wrong direction in many countries. And, I mean, we've talked a lot about China, and people are aware of China as sort of a huge problem when it comes to, you know, the expansion of coal-fired capacity. But actually, if I look at the U.S., I mean, in a lot of these projects in African countries, I run across General Electric. You have General Electric right now, who also wants to sell their equipment for coal-fired power plants, lobbying in South Africa to get the South African government, which actually already has a lot, way too much installed coal capacity, to build yet another coal-fired power station. I mean, this is one of the reasons why at Urgewald we decided it was really important to put this information out there for the finance industry to know which companies are planning to build new coal-fired power stations, because these companies are really clearly at odds with the Paris Climate Agreement and are basically working towards catastrophic climate change.
Let's make a buck by wrecking the climate. This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith with my guest Heffa Schucking, director of the German nonprofit group Urgewald, and they report that new coal plants are planned in many countries, promising a continuing disaster for our climate. So, Heffa, in your list of the world's top 10 developers of coal power by megawatts planned, 7 of the top 10 are Chinese companies or government-owned banks. Can people and groups outside of China have any hope of changing that?
Well, definitely, because, I mean, number one, I think it's important to say China is one-third of the world's coal plant pipeline, but two-thirds are outside of China. That's one thing to remember. The other thing is that if we look at sort of who is financing and who is investing in the top coal plant developers, then we see a pattern where Japanese and European banks, for example, are very important when it comes to direct lending to these companies. Chinese banks are very important when it comes to underwriting new bond and share issues. But when we look at who are the institutional investors who are buying the shares and bonds of these companies, actually the U.S. is the country that comes up the most. I mean, around 35% of institutional investments in coal plant developers are by U.S. institutions such as BlackRock or T. Rowe Price or Vanguard.
I note that 5 major coal companies in the United States, big corporations, have gone bankrupt in the last 3 years, yet they reorganize and mostly keep operating. It seems like it's such a high-risk industry, it still finds investors. It sounds like a bit of a Ponzi scheme. You sell all this coal power, but then you know that in the future, because people are suffering from climate change, they will cancel this industry. How does it manage to keep going?
I think the U.S. situation is a special one because basically somehow in the U.S. when companies go bankrupt, they're still allowed to keep on operating. This is different in other parts of the world, and I can't really explain to you why that is. I do not understand how companies like Peabody Energy or Arch Coal, how they can keep on operating.
So eventually, I suppose coal operators may be sued for climate damage or even human rights abuse when countries disappear. Has Urgewald tried putting pressure on insurance companies to stop covering coal plants in their construction?
Yeah, we have, together also with other with NGO partners from other European countries, and I think this has been fairly successful. I mean, the insurance companies are, as a group, I would say, much more aware of the fact that climate change is already a reality and is impacting the economy of in many different places in the world, and also directly impacting their own portfolios. And in Europe, the three largest insurance companies, which are also three of the world's largest insurance companies, Allianz, AXA, and Generali, they have all adopted policies where they ban investments in companies that are still planning to build new coal power stations, and where they have announced that they will not directly insure the construction or development of new coal power stations or coal mines.
So how can we fight to keep our pension funds and tax dollars out of climate-wrecking coal projects?
Well, I think that financial institutions, I mean, this is all relatively new, the moves by the large European insurance companies. These are things that happened in 2017 and 2018. And I think it's something that needs to be replicated in other parts of the world, such as the U.S. or Japan, where still major finances are going to the development of to companies that are developing new coal power stations. I think what we really need to see is more attention by U.S. civil society, for example, on the role of the U.S. finance industry when it comes to the global coal industry. I mean, often when I talk to environment organizations from the U.S., they're saying, but look, U.S., the coal sector in the U.S. is not doing very well. And, you know, even under the President Trump, more coal power stations are being closed simply for economic reasons. But they seem to have forgotten that actually U.S. financial institutions still play a huge role in development of coal power in other countries, because the U.S., I mean, has the largest capital markets in the world and has the largest investors in the world. So I think that that's, you know, next to solving the problem of China's government actually managing to rein in China's coal power plants at home, there's the challenge of getting the U.S. finance industry and the Japanese finance industry to rein in their financial institutions who are investing in projects that at the end of the day are going to endanger us all.
Sure. I mean, if banks were investing in heroin production directly and openly, we'd all be very upset. But here we have an industry that even in China is killing, you know, almost 500,000 people a year with their pollution. And that works in parts of Europe and parts of other countries where people are dying from this. So if we don't manage to rein in these coal plants, do you think the very worst will happen to our climate?
I don't know how the fight will go. I mean, all of the coal plants that have been announced, there's enormous opposition. There's enormous opposition in Egypt, in Kenya, in Bangladesh, in the Philippines, in Myanmar, even in China, against building new coal plants because they're polluting. They use up lots of water. Coal mining is incredibly destructive. And people realize that this is a really cost-heavy form of energy production and that there are alternatives there. So, I mean, if I look at what has happened in Myanmar, for example, also an autocratic country where it's dangerous for people to protest, but a few years ago, I mean, there were plans to build something like 5,400 megawatts of new coal plants, and there were so many local protests that 3/4 of those projects had to be scrapped. So the pipeline is now at something like, I think, 1,200 or 1,400 megawatts. And we see that happening a lot. We see the price of renewables in some places, like India, falling so rapidly that all of a sudden it just becomes completely uneconomic to build new coal plants. Like the coal plant pipeline, those 670,000 megawatts that are in there, they're not all going to be built because there's a lot of resistance. But the thing is, local resistance isn't enough. We need to change the finance industry if we want to save the climate, because it's really, you know, in 20 years, we won't have to worry about new coal-fired power stations, or even in 15 years, because the economics will be different. It's really the next 10 to 15 years that if financing goes into those projects, if projects are already, if they're ready to go online, if that money has been spent, then the danger is that they will go online. It becomes much harder to stop this development from happening. So right now, I'm not, you know, I'm trying not to think of the worst case scenario. I'm thinking, yes, we need to move forward much more quickly with the finance industry. And what I find really interesting in Europe, for example, is that Allianz, they're the world's largest insurance company, and they came out and not only said, well, we won't invest anymore in coal plant developers, they also said, we are going to completely exit all forms of coal investment and coal insurance by 2040. And we're going to do this systematically, and now we're stopping business with any company that has over 30% of their electricity production or their revenues are coal-based. We're going to take that down to 25%, and by the time in a few years, and then we're going to go down to 20, and by 2040, 0% coal business. So they've announced a full coal exit. There are a few other examples now of financial institutions who have sort of followed and done the same thing. There's the largest private asset manager in Norway, for example, Storebrand. They've said they want to completely exit coal investments by 2026 already. People need to start asking their banks and their asset managers and their pension funds, what's your date for a coal exit?
And what is the Global Coal Exit List and how can we use it?
Well, the Global Coal Exit List, it tries to really make the coal industry as a whole visible to the finance industry because, you know, in many cases, you know, people always talk about the coal industry and they kind of think it's, you know, very clear who belongs to it. But it's not always that simple, you know. I mean, when we were doing this research and, you know, basically putting together a list of all of the companies worldwide that operate along the thermal coal value chain, I mean, we run across companies with names like China Africa Sunlight Energy, which is actually a company that wants to build a coal-fired power station in Zimbabwe, or a company called Silver Unicorn Trading that actually is a coal trader. I mean, it's not always obvious. And the Global Coal Exit List, it makes those companies visible. It provides basic information on the companies. It tells you exactly which companies are planning to either build new coal power stations or develop new coal mines. And our hope is that, I mean, we're already seeing that many financial institutions just who have contacted us or asking us for a full version of that database. We have a version on the net that everybody can download, that NGOs can also use or citizens can use, students can use if they want to take a look at the endowment of their university, whether it's invested in bad coal companies, and then you need to know who the coal companies are, and that's where the Global Coal Exit List comes in.
Right, and that's at coalexit.org. As we wrap up, I notice you and Urge Waldeman campaigning on all kinds of environmental issues, from climate to forest to nuclear safety. After so much activism for over 25 years, Heffa Schuking, what keeps you going?
Well, I'm always struck by the fact how a small group of people can often achieve really big things. I mean, if I think about it, Allianz is the world's largest insurance company. And when we began talking to them in 2013, they said there's no way we're going to exclude the coal industry from our portfolio. And 5-6 years down the line, they've become a leader in terms of announcing a coal exit and excluding most of the coal industry from their investment portfolio and a commitment to fully exclude by 2040. And considering, I mean, Orgeval, we're not a huge organization. We have around 15 staff. That's the kind of stuff that keeps me going, that I see that the work we're doing makes a real difference in the world.
We have been talking with the well-known German environmentalist Heffa Schuking. She is director of the German nonprofit group Urgewald. I will put links to their site in my weekly show blog at ecoshock.org. For English language information about coal financing and expansion, you can check out coalswarm.org, and coalexit.org. Thank you so much for talking with us on Radio EcoShock.
Thank you.
I'm Alex Smith reporting.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.